So welcome to Lecture 21, I think it is. Yes, it is Lecture 21. And today we are going to configure RIP. And at some point, Sabahattin's going to tell you all about Split Horizon. Now, because you came in late, we have the option of extending exploration. So get in touch with me if you want that to happen or if you want to get it all over with. The practice final went up last week for exploration. Did anyone get a chance to have a shot at it?
No, I wanted to, but other things unfortunately got in the way. I'll certainly do it Thursday or Friday, and I would probably like to take the final exam next Wednesday if that's convenient, or at some other time next week according to availability.
Yeah, Wednesday's fine. I can press buttons. Activating the final isn't difficult. It's up to you when you want to do it. I will be in as of 4 Pacific. So if you would like to start it earlier, let me know. Otherwise, you can start at 5 Pacific.
Yeah, 5 Pacific would be good, and that will allow you to get some paperwork and stuff out the way, Kerry, and that'll work fine for me. I think it's a 2-hour exam, if I remember rightly, isn't it?
You're actually given 3, but you don't have to use all the time you're allotted, which is why I was giving you the chance to start early if you wanted the maximum amount of time.
No, that'll do. I think it's 50 questions, which should be doable in 2 hours if I'm properly prepared for it. So I think I'm pretty happy to start at 5.
Okay, no problem. Did you want to do yours at the same time, Sabahattin, just to keep it uniform, or do you want to push yours back a bit?
I took longer than I was hoping to on labs, so I won't have enough time to study the last few chapters, so I think I need to push mine back a bit.
Okay, no worries. We can certainly do that. I would be encouraging you guys to take a read through Chapter 11. You really want to read Chapter 11 very carefully before you do the final, especially the stuff that deals with the different router prompts and the number of VTYs, and I'm just doing this from memory, so the number of virtual terminals. I think there's a question on that. There's a question from what is stored in NVRAM, and there's a question about what... there's a question about what one of the router configuration prompts would be in global configuration mode. In other words, config T. So there's some free marks from memory that you should be able to score if you find the correct bits of information. All right, guys. I'll just paste the Dropbox link to our network topology into the chat, which now matches reality. Fixed that last week, so that all the numbers match the different segments and it's all nicely documented out. So I'll just make sure everybody's got the latest copy of that, and then we will get configuring.
Cool.
Now, did anyone get their... I think everybody did. I think Mike's got a copy. Did you get Ciscopedia accessible, Sabahattin? Did you manage to tear open the CHM or something?
I just went into Windows to read the CHM. That's fine, yep.
Okay, 7-zip or P7-zip will actually pull that out into HTML if you care.
Oh, wonderful. I will have a look at that, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now, the DSpam won't have given you any TTS feedback for that, but the link has been pasted into your chat window to the latest copy of our practical lab topology. Okay.
Got it.
Last week on As the Packets Travel... A routing topology has been configured, but 3 routers are isolated by serial links, each an island in a sea of network clouds. This week on As the Packets Travel, you will get your routers to all be able to talk to each other and be able to talk from every workstation to every other workstation. So, what we're going to do is we are going to... configure a routing protocol. Now, as we discussed there, well, before I continue, does anyone have any questions or queries or things that they would like to know? Not necessarily about what I'm talking about, but preferably.
Just a comment, the back music on the game that the kids are playing on the computer went oddly well with that.
Ah, synchronicity is such a wonderful thing. Alrighty. There are a number of ways of configuring routing tables. One of them is to put static routes on all of the routers that you're dealing with. This is somewhat of an administrative nightmare and doesn't generally allow a high degree of fault tolerance. It can be made fault tolerance, but it all has to be done by hand. So what we're going to do is configure a routing protocol. And we are going to have the routers exchange routing information. We're going to have to take turns at doing various things because there's a couple more of us than there are routers. So perhaps we'll break up some of the tasks of the ISP router and get different people to do bits of those different tasks. Now, who wants to take which pods and bundles and things? We've got to configure the three routers, and we have to enable RIP on those three routers as well as setting those up.
All the routers need to know about all the interfaces.
No, all the routers need to know about all of the different networks, and I'm going to explain how that works in a second. The fact is, a router only needs to know about what it owns, and it needs to know who to tell. But the fact is that it doesn't need to necessarily know about the other routers, because that is what the routing protocol is all about. The other routers will tell it about what it's connected to.
Yeah.
I got to play last week, Monica. Did you want to go first?
I thought I would let you guys go first since you're all taking part in the class. And I missed last week, so I'm a little behind anyway. So go ahead, Char, and then when you're done, I will play.
I'll take pod three then.
All right. Back to one.
Yep. Saberhatton, you're on the ISP as usual. But we'll be a bit careful as to how much stuff we set up at each individual time because we might send somebody into various routers and things. But alright guys, start your terminal emulation software please and connect into Da Bundle if you haven't done so already.
I only need the practical lab text file for the session, do I? Because if I do, then I'll go for the screen, and it'll be nice.
Yeah, you only need the practical lab text file for the session. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Oh, TerraTerm hates me this week, I see.
Perhaps you forgot to change the check thingy to Telnet or something.
There we go. That's better.
Was it the forget to change it to Telnet problem?
No, I changed it. It wouldn't connect, and now it finally did. So. Am I going into the router?
You are. You're going into router 3, and Mike is going into router 1, and Saberhatton is going into router 2. Okay, and you should be enabled, so you should be seeing a hash prompt.
Okay, seeing a hash
prompt. Got it.
Alrighty. Okay, you were roughly up to where we're all up to, Saberhatton. Have you got a hash prompt in front of you or something?
Just at the greater than prompt, so very nearly. Done.
Alrighty. First thing I want you guys to do is to do a show space IP space route, and I'm just about to type that into the chat in case we need to check spelling or anything, and have a look at the routing table. What you should see is a route to your Ethernet interface for each of your routers, and depending on what you've got configured, you may see routes through serial interfaces, but you shouldn't see that many routes.
Wouldn't we see Ethernet routes to the workstations and a serial route to the next router? Is that?
You'll see a route to the Ethernet interface for the workstations, and you will see a /28 route through to the other end of the serial interface, but that's as far as it'll take you.
I think I'm good.
Oh, well, I suppose that's okay. Have a look at your output and see if it makes any sense to you guys. At this point of the course, you should be able to understand approximately what that table is saying to you. So, for example, Mike should be seeing 192.168.24.0 to 255.255.255.0 to fast Ethernet 0/0/0, and SHA should be seeing a 192.168.26.0 with a 255.255.255.0 net mask pointing at her Ethernet interface. This routing table shouldn't be black magic at this point in the course, otherwise I need to explain some more things to you guys.
Yeah, this routing table on Perth is okay, as it should be, Curious. I believe you set it up last week.
Well,
there is one piece of arcana here.
What's up?
This is 1/10 in square brackets. What's the meaning of that on the second static root, 192.168.26.0.20?
1/10 is the... Okay, so you've got a static route into 26.0 on the ISP router. You need to take that out because we want it to show up through RIP. The 1/10 involves... what are these specifically called? It's like the metric, but basically it's an offset so that certain routes will take priority over other routes. So if you have static routes, they'll take priority over RIP added routes, and the 1/10 refers to that priority, and I'll have to crack Ciscopedia open and find out what the funky name they give that. But it's basically like a administrative distance. That's what they call it. And it's so you can make the routes have priorities.
Ah, okay. I don't see the 26 in this one at the moment. Maybe it's already moved. I can't remember where I got to last week. I think I finished after the lecture, but I'm not sure if I managed to make it work on.
Okay, well, have a look at your show IP route and it should tell you whether it's there or not. Because basically what you should have is an Ethernet route tier 13188, whatever. Hang on, I'll just pull open the file. Your ISP network. And then you should have a couple of stub routes pointing through your serial interfaces with /28 masks. With /30 masks, I should say. Sorry, my mistake. Pointing through your two serial interfaces if your underlying infrastructure is correctly configured.
Okay, I've got two S's and three C's. 192.31.88.0.24 looks good. And then I've got a static for 192.168.24.0. I'm not quite sure how C and S is the difference between configured by the interface and configured by the manually added route, yep.
No. C is connected and S is static. In other words, C is connected because it's the LAN interface and S is static because you added it. See, it's right up the top of the routing table. It has the key. You don't have to go all the way back up there necessarily to look, but it says C is connected, S is static, R is RIP, etc., etc.
Right, yeah, yep. Okay, so in that case, I might just be looking at a problem. Let me just read through it again. Hang on a second.
Yeah, you're going to have to take out those two static routes. That'll be... we'll get to that in a second, because I'm going to have to tell the other guys what you guys are going to have to add in so that you guys can work while he's taking out the two static routes he's got.
I have a static route to him, should I?
You probably need to take that out as well, because we're going to do all the routing automatically.
Okay. What's the command to do that, since I'm dense?
No, you haven't been told what the command is yet. What you guys need to do is you need to go into config T to get into... Can anybody tell me what config T gets you into? This is in your test.
Global configuration.
Well done.
Okay.
Then yep. You need to do a no space IP space route space, and then you'll have to give it the prefix of the route, 192.168.26.0 or whatever, space, and then the mask, and that should take out the route that you're trying to get rid of.
Okay, right, got it. So that's what it was. It was the previously configured static route.
Yep. If you want something to do while these guys are working away, Monica, you may want to check one of the workstations or a couple of the workstations and make sure they have a default route to their router, and that they have correct IP address information configured on them.
All right, I'll do that now.
I also have a static, and it's the serial one, 0.0.0.0.
Okay, can anyone tell her what a 0.0.0.0 route is?
That would be the last resort thing, isn't it? Or am I totally wrong?
It's technically not called the gateway of last resort. It's called the default route. And that is the route that packets are sent to if there is no other destination for them.
Yeah, I was just looking at the top line, the gateway of last, or gateway of last resort. Yeah, that's what I'm. Okay, cool. Okay, so all I have now is the C for the workstations 192.168.24.0, and I have 10.0.0/30 is subnetted when subnets, and that's it. Oh, and C 10.2.1.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and you have the, alright, but here's a potentially sticky question. Do you think that's what you should have, and do you actually understand what all the routes point to?
The 10.2.1 points to Sabahattin, right?
It points to the serial link that connects to his ISP router, yes.
And the other one is my, that's what my workstation is hooked up with, right? That's the 24 point.
Hang on, your route, 26, I was about to say, because Mike's is 24 and yours is 26, so we were going to get an IP address collision, and that would have been bad times, TM.
So the only one I don't remember here is the subnetted one.
Well, no, the subnetted one is the 10 subnet. Because 10 defaults to being a Class A network and you're only using a subsection of it, the 10 subnet has been subnetted, which is why you get that 10.0 is subnetted warning in the routing table.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I think I'm all good then.
What was that explanation again? Sorry, I was a bit distracted, but it sounded relevant.
I just said the reason she's got a line that says 10.0 whatever is subnetted one subnets is because 10 defaults to being a Class A, and at the moment we're only using a small subset of the 10 network for serial routing.
Ah, right, okay, cool, yeah, I thought I got lazy somewhere because my static serial subnets didn't show the subnet mask, it just shows the interface of the route on either end. I thought maybe that was wrong.
Yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Remember, you can point a route either to a destination gateway or through an interface, and both are valid ways to point a route.
Yeah, I think when I last looked at it last week, it was I just specified the interface, except on one of the interfaces it gave me some spurious remark about it being an invalid command or something, so I looked up the IP of that interface and just put that in, and that worked. And it looked the same in show IP route, so yeah.
All right, guys. Now, what we need to do here is RIP is one of the earlier routing information protocol. It broadcasts its routing table every 30 seconds to any router that is a connected router, and any of the routes that are broadcast to other routers are then learned by those routers. Anything that is over 16 hops away in RIP is considered unreachable. Obviously, in this particular instance, you will find that things are only one or two hops away, but I will talk about problems that you can get with that particular setup. Now, what everybody needs to do who's working on the routers is to configure RIP. Now, in a perfect world, I would send you all off to the Ciscopedia to look up how it's done. However, we don't really have time for that, and I can probably explain it to you more quickly. Basically, what you need to do is to tell your router to advertise the networks that it has connected to. And I'm going to give you an example in chat of how we might do this, and then I will take questions. And because I feel like being nice to Mike, there are the commands he would literally cut and paste into his router to make his advertise the networks that it's connected to. Any questions?
So I just changed the 24.0 to 26.0 for mine?
Yes, but do you understand what it's doing?
It's telling it what network to broadcast.
And which network would be it broadcasting if you changed 24 to 26?
mine instead of his.
More specific?
Headlens?
Yeah, what I was actually looking for was the Ethernet network that the workstations are connected to.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
What is the significance of the router prompt? Router.
It means you are in router configuration mode.
What's the version 2?
Sets RIP version 2, so that the netmask is actually distributed with the routing update. Otherwise, the netmask wouldn't be distributed with the routing update if we were using RIP version 1. It would be using classful addressing, and it would look at the first octet of the IP address to figure out how big a subnet the route adhered to.
Cool.
Will the router prompt be different for every invocation of the roots command from config tmode, or is it specific to a given protocol? Like, if I would type router or SPF, I'm not going to, obviously, but would it be different?
No, I don't believe it would. And you could type router or SPF and then type end. You wouldn't do any damage, so why don't you find out?
Okay, cool. I'll just set this up and have a look.
Right, I've typed all that in, Kerry, and got back to my global config prompt.
Okay, if you type end to drop out of global configuration mode and do a show run, you should see the contents of the configuration that you have been building. Alright guys, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at our routing table and see whether we've got any new routes in. And I think you'll find that you don't actually have any new routes in because we are missing some bits of information, but we need to look at the output of the debugging command and find out why it's not working, and there will actually be a reason. And I'm just going to give you guys the commands to do that. Now, what I will warn you with debugging output is that once you turn it on, it is going to spit messages onto the system log that are going to turn up on your console, which will somewhat disrupt your screen display. You can press Control L to redraw your screen and get on with what you're typing, or ignore the fact that the debugging messages are coming up. But to turn the debugging messages off, you do an undebug all, which I'll just put into chat so that you guys know what that looks like. And you may want to turn off the debugging information once you've had a look at what it said, and you will then be able to find out what the actual issue is. So to debug the routing information protocol to see what's going on, you will want to run debug IP RIP, which looks like this.
RIP protocol debugging is on.
Patience is a virtue, and avoid cliches like the plague. But pretty soon you will see some debugging output.
Oh, there we go. Patience is a virtue is one of my favorite lines to the kids, and somehow it doesn't sink in.
Well, who says patience is a virtue? I mean, it's a nice opinion, and it's fairly good advice. But plenty of people get stuff out of the world without being patient. Okay, can anyone see what's happening to their routing update?
I can see myself sending, but no entries being received yet.
Okay, so is your router actually sending the updates over the serial link, or is it only sending things on the Ethernet interface?
Over Ethernet.
Ah, going over Ethernet, yeah.
All right, do you have any ideas, Sabahattin, why that would be happening, given your research assignment? And if you don't know, I will tell you.
I can't say that I do, actually. I now know what split horizon means, but I'm not sure why that should mean... I don't know. Yeah. If it's supposed to be because I'm ignoring routing loops, but I'm not sure how that works, so you can explain it.
Well, if Split Horizon is enabled on an interface, it won't send out routes over that interface for things that it thinks the routes don't need to go out to. And because serial links are often considered to be point-to-point, you need to explicitly enable RIP to be sent over serial interfaces. And to do that, you will have to turn off Split Horizon on those serial interfaces.
But why is it on to start with? Because it's point-to-point. And what's wrong with that?
Because if you look at the relative bandwidths of a serial interface, you're looking at Ethernet interfaces being, say, 100 megabits per second, and you're looking at, say, serial interfaces being 4 megabits a second, or 10 megabits a second, or, you know, 55 megabits per second. And because point-to-point links are a finite resource, the router will not gratuitously broadcast its routing table every 30 seconds because of the bandwidth involved over those interfaces by default, unless you explicitly tell it to do so.
Ah, okay.
Oh, undebug all if you want the annoyance every 30 seconds to disappear, but you will want to turn it back on later, so just be aware of that. Undebug all will silence things for a little while.
All possible debugging has been turned off. It almost sounds like a vindictive Cisco engineer.
Yeah, so all possible debugging has been turned off. So in other words, there'll be some debugging that won't be turned off, but all of the stuff that they think you can live without will be turned off is pretty much what that message is saying.
Since presumably impossible debugging is left on, is that a quantum effect?
Dunno. Given the way people use the term quantum mechanics and quantum engineering, as far as whether I'm having a good day or not, apparently has something to do with quantum engineering, which I think is pretty impressive, and quantum physics, apparently. So I'll remember that when I'm eating lunch, that somehow quantum physics has been pseudo-scientifically involved here somewhere.
It's all of that time travel, you know, the quantum leap stuff. Which is my only completely unscientific addition to this conversation.
I used to enjoy Quantum Leap, but that's not neither here nor there. All right, guys.
So, and by the way, the workstations... I'm sorry, Carrie. I was just going to tell you workstations 5 and 6 are working and they're able to ping each other.
Excellent. All right, guys. Now, to enable Split Horizon on your serial interface, you have to do something that looks like this. Oops, there should have been two lots of slash there. Serial 0/0/0. I'll just go back and check whether I got that right in a minute. And you go, no Split Horizon.
Ah, so we want to turn the check off.
That's the one. Now, what I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to set some homework. And the homework is to try and get your router to send its RIP updates over its serial interface. And that is your homework that I want to see if you guys can get working before next week. You want the Ciscopedia, and you'll also want to do a Google on Cisco debug IP routing. Debug RIP routing. And I want to see if anyone can get their router to send its routing updates. What is missing from this picture, if anything? And how do you get it to actually send its routing updates? I will give you a hint, is that there is and are settings for the interface that will tell it which types of RIP messages it is allowed to accept. And you may have to tweak that. Please remember to copy running to startup-config before you log out. Copy space running space start in privileged exec mode so that the configuration changes you have made today will survive if the building loses power or the remote bundle loses power. So please save your running config before you sign out. If anybody wants to continue playing while Mike eats dinner, we can stick around and have a bit more of a tamper if you like. It's up to you guys.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. I'm sworn to about a week's worth of exams from now on, so I might as well get into the spirit.
As long as it's not getting into the spirits, because that will make router configuration far more interesting.
No, sadly those are at the off license.
Bye-bye to you too.
Okay, shall I continue recording, or shall I stop recording and we can have a tamper and see if we can get this to work?
I don't know, if I were listening to the recording now, I'd probably be sort of wondering what it was. Unless it was in next week's installment, of course.
Okay, well I can continue recording.
I'm evidently doing something wrong, because I did the interface 0/0/0, but I'm getting a invalid marker thing for the no split horizon. I gotta figure out how I'm typoing.
Don't forget to use the tab key and go no space SP and hit tab and see what it completes out to, because you might not be putting a dash in or something. That's pretty common. Feel free to have a tamper with pod 1, Monica, if you like, because Mike's no longer using it.
All right, I'll take a look.
You may want to log in and do a debug IP rip and have a look at the stuff that everybody's seeing and then undebug all to get up to speed with what's happening. Ah, one other thing. You will need to advertise the routes to serial interfaces, unless you've got the routes through the serial interfaces to be static. Otherwise, it won't know to advertise those to the other routers. So that's also a gotcha that you need to be aware of.
Just to make sure I'm at the right configuration, I should be at a config IF number sign, right?
Yep. And what do you think IF means?
Interface.
That's correct.
I tried no SP tab and it didn't tab out to anything, so maybe I have to do...
No, I'm having the same issue at the moment. I'll just see if I can get help out of it. I think there must be a subcommand in here, because no split question mark says unrecognized command in configure. Oh wait, no, I'm not in configure. Well, let me just check that.
Unfortunately, you guys have got access to all of the Cisco gear, and I can't actually get in and look to verify the commands at this point in time.
I'll back out.
Which one are you on?
3.
Alright, let me know when you've broken back and I'll take a quick look and confirm the command and semantics.
All yours.
That's interesting. I was kicked out of config mode without typing end.
Yeah, how bizarre.
Yeah, let's try that again.
Hang on, I'm going to Google this up, which is what all responsible network administrators should know how to do, because it's not showing up in the interface-specific configuration mode, so I could be... I always forget these details on this, because it's something that I use once every 6 months, so I'm going to have to write myself some notes once we figure it out this time. So I'm just going to break back so you'll have access to have a look around, Shara, if you want to. I've broken back. Here we go, Cisco IOS 12.2, configuring split horizon. This looks good. I kid you not, guys, when you're setting this stuff up, you want a connection to the internet with Dr. Google, and you want a connection to your routers so that you can find this stuff easily.
Yeah, I wish
that... child will be named Wikipedia Google, my fourth one.
I don't think it's possible to configure a router offline today anyway, because it does a load of core home stuff these days, so it's like having the net is just handy.
Does anyone see those articles that were posted to the list about, and this is an interesting thing I probably should have spoken about in class, the whole phone home and automatic update thing that's in the new Linksys routers, where they're going to sign up to this cloud service thing, and if Cisco decides they want to shut you down, they can?
That's a little creepy.
That is extremely creepy, if you ask me.
I don't mind people having remote access to their gateways, as long as they opt into it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that they have to, as it stood, Cisco would always have access into your router, and if you were seen to be doing anything that was illegal or undesirable or against Cisco's terms of service, they could remotely off-switch you and shut you down.
Oh dear, that's really bad. What has happened to Cisco?
Big Brother ain't so far off.
From what I read, there was so much backlash that they provided a link for people to downgrade to an older firmware that doesn't let them have the full access. But I think that means they'll do what Facebook does, which is have that link up there for people that complain. But for the average person, they'll still have the off switch and all of that in place.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a fair policy.
Most people won't change it, and they won't.
Most people won't change, don't care, and don't really want to know until it's too late.
It's very unfortunate, though. Apparently, the classic firmware, as the forum members now call it, is not even as fully functional. Like you don't get the latest drivers and stuff, because some of those are binary blobs. So it's a bit of a lose-lose situation, really.
Okay, guys, here's the link I'm looking at in chat. If you guys want to have a look at the how to set this stuff up. And this is the primer on how to get RIP going.
Oh, cool.
Oh, good. I was afraid I broke something.
Well, to be honest, you're supposed to break things. And in fact, it's supposed to go horribly wrong. And that's the entire point of the remote bundle. And anybody who comes on with the expectation of not breaking stuff, this isn't the class for you.
That's the best way to learn computers in general. People are so scared of it, but it's fun. Okay, well, maybe not breaking everything, but knowing how to fix things you break. At least for Windows systems, it always asks if you're sure, anyway. Maybe not so much for Linux.
Very rarely for Linux, actually. Sorry, guys, it's no space ip-split-horizon. I apologize.
Okay, I'm going to load up that primer, and then I'm going to... I've got so many Cisco-related stuff on my reading list now. Yeah, it's scary, really.
Yeah, look, it kind of is a bit nasty to sort of force you guys to get in here and debug this, but unfortunately I found it to be the most educational way of you guys to figure out how to fix this. It may cause short-term frustration, but long-term, you guys will win from this experience. I hope.
Did you say no ip-split-horizon?
Yep.
Still getting invalid input unless I'm in the wrong place now, hang on.
Hang on. Did you go into interface serial 0/0/0 before you ran that command?
Yeah, I'll back out and just make sure. Still getting it.
Alright. Break back and I'll take a look.
Okay. I always do it a few times to make sure I'm not typoing, because we all know how well I type.
Oh no, I'm not claiming that my information is 100% accurate either. We're looking at router... Three.
Well, that's a nice change. Ambiguous command. No, it... Split horizon. Oh, hang on. I've not got a dash between the IP and the split horizon. Let me have a look.
Hang on, I'm not seeing it work here. Does this have to be done in the router rip? Let me have a look.
I've never seen router mode mentioned anywhere. I guess I should... It's like... interface, but for the routing protocol.
Okay, I'm just going to break back, and I'm just going to go and have a look at the end of my... I'm just going to go and have a look at the page I'm looking at here to get clarified on this.
I am AFK for 1 second.
Okay. Oh, it's IP space split dash horizon. That will do it.
Okay, I've got it. It's the ambiguous command prompt that chucks me to the previous level. Interesting.
There we go. I will get Charlene to have a look at that when she gets back to the keyboard. But it was no space IP space split dash horizon. So, that was at the bottom of that document in the split horizon examples.
Yeah, that worked.
I am back. Sorry, parenting moment. Cool.
So it's no space IP space split dash horizon. Now you get to turn on debugging and see if your RIP is working or not, and if not, why not? I should actually go back and listen to last
year's
lectures on this.
Still going over Ethernet?
Yeah, but is it going over the serial? All right, guys. How's everything going? Is it still not working?
Doesn't look like it's going.
Thanks, Slow Study here.
My best guess, guys, is you're going to have to advertise the networks with the serial interface. So you're going to have to go router rip, and you're going to have to go network 10.0.2.whatever and advertise those as well. Otherwise, it will not consider those interfaces as valid.
Let me just save my state and everything.
All right, guys, I'm going to stop recording at this point, and if we come up with anything else, I will tack it on to next week's recordy thing. Although Mike's doing his exam next week, so we'll see what's happening with that.